how are you going about sort of keeping your pantry stocked at the moment?
So I'm just getting stuck into the vegetable garden. I can't believe, you know, looking back on a lot of the content of that title that I released at the end of the last year, The Edible Food Garden, how much of it is relevant to what's happening now, you know. It's, I think we're with this coronavirus lockdown that we're seeing, you know, a lot of people spending far more time at home. And we're also seeing that there's a fragility to our food system when it's centralized and around a supermarket duopoly. So people are scratching their heads and kind of going, you know, what can I do to make sure I've got some sort of food security? And growing your own food in the backyard is one of the best ways to encourage or, you know, to make sure you've got some sort of fresh food to feed yourself and your family. So, yeah, I'm just getting stuck right into my winter vegetable garden. Summer's over, and so it's time to plant all those winter crops because autumn's really the best time to plant your stuff for winter because there's still a little bit of warmth left. So the plants get a head start before winter comes around and the growth rate slows right down. And we're fishing. Our family's going to do a lot of fishing and we're doing a lot of a little bit of hunting out the back of the hinterland where we live down here on the far south coast. We're in a pretty good spot. We've had two disasters this year or two crises. We've had the bushfire and the coronavirus. And for the bushfires, you probably didn't want to be on the south coast, but for the coronavirus, I reckon we're in the box seat down here.
As you say, this has all become very appropriate, the edible garden, for the times we're living in right now. Pandemic aside, why do you feel people should be growing food at home?
Well, because we've outsourced all of our own food security. I mean, we live in an age of freedom, but when you're totally dependent on a supermarket for all of your foodstuffs and you have no role in growing your own food or procuring your own food whatsoever, or even as simple as cooking your own food, we're totally dependent on takeaway or Uber Eats and things like that, then you're dependent. You're not free. Like, freedom is a form of independence. And so I think that crises like the bushfires down here on the south coast, I mean, the impacts weren't really felt in the city, but they probably will be in terms of meat prices a little bit later in the year. And indeed, the pandemic really exposes just how dependent we are on the current system. And when you remove that consistency and convenience, which we're seeing happening right now in the supermarkets, it makes you realise that we've lost a lot of the skills for looking after ourselves. And first and foremost amongst those, for the last 10,000 years of human existence, has been growing your own food.
You talk about the importance of local food communities. How do people get out there and actually recognise where their local food community gathers, where they actually come from?
Well, I was involved in the launch of a project last year called Grow It Local. It was by the people who started the garage sale trail. Grow It Local is a kind of social media platform that they've created for food growers. And so it's literally growitlocal.com. And you can go on there and you can register your patch and you can also see all the people in your surrounding area or indeed Australia who've registered their patches. You can use it not only as a kind of ID for the fact that you're growing vegetables and where you are doing that, but you can also use it as a forum for asking for help or for offering services. If you're an experienced gardener, you can say, hey, I'm running a $5 a head workshop in my backyard to give people the basics of seed propagation, and that'll go out to everyone in the surrounding area. So that's a really great way to connect. And given the current, you know, social distancing measures that are in place, it's actually probably the best way to connect. Because other than that, I'd say go to your local community garden. But, you know, with the current state of things, you know, we probably wouldn't be doing that so much and kind of gathering in large groups of gardeners. But you also just walk around your neighbourhood. You know, you can usually tell who food growers are because they're poking around in their front yard, tending herbs and fruit trees and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously maintaining a safe distance at the moment, just introduce yourself. I in my experience, food growers are always a very generous and caring bunch and always happy to have a chat. So, and they love it when people don't know how to grow because they love sharing their passion with how to grow food.
For those who might be sort of thinking about starting up a veggie garden or starting to grow at home, what should they be planting now? Where would they beginning to start?
So if I'd never gardened before and I was looking at doing it right now, despite, you know, what's happening right now, you you're not going to be able to grow all your own food in a small backyard or on a balcony. So that's not an appropriate goal, I don't think. I think really you should be looking at, if you've never looked after plants before in your life, you should look at keeping a few culinary herbs alive at your back doorstep or on a sunny windowsill in the kitchen or on your balcony. If you've got no experience whatsoever and you feel like you're a bit of a black thumb, like someone that kills plants rather than looks after them, start with really robust perennial herbs like rosemary, thyme, oregano, things like that, that, you know, you can add to the food that you're cooking. If you're feeling a little bit more confident, I'd start looking at things like more annual herbs like coriander, parsley, two-leaf basil, and leafy green vegetables. That's really the prime time for growing that stuff this time of year. And if you are growing leafy green vegetables, look for things like loose-heading lettuces, like mizuna, like mustard greens, things that you can harvest a few leaves from as required and leave the rest of the plant to continue growing. For backyard and small-scale food growers, I don't really recommend growing things like heading lettuces, like cosses and icebergs and things like that, because when it's ready, you harvest it, you've got to use the whole thing, whereas these kind of loose-head varieties, things like rocket as well, you can just pick a few leaves, make your salad, and the plant continues about its business.
And just looking ahead, I mean, as we said before, shopping centre shelves, grocery shelves are looking a bit bare at the moment. Yeah. Even places like Bunnings have recently reported their shelves are being emptied of things like seedlings, potting mix and the like. I mean, people are shifting. They're starting to think about this one a little bit more. What's your feeling once this one has kind of passed over and we do see the convenience return, are people going to stick with that until the next crisis, or will this change a few minds?
Well, I as much as I'd like to hope that it would form some sort of grassroots food growing revolution, I think I'm a little bit more realistic than that. That I feel like as soon as the convenience return, we get back to business as usual, that most people will probably continue down that path. But if there's 10,000 people that are trying to grow food now that have never really grown food before, if 500 of those continue doing it, or 1,000 or even 100, then that's great. You know, any extra food growers in our society, in our communities, at that small backyard scale are always welcome. So, as much as I kind of like lie in bed at the moment fantasizing about some sort of, urban agricultural revolution, I can see that the kind of economic wheels are itching to get back into action at the end of this. But you never know. I think I'm being realistic. I probably think that, people will return to convenience, but there's a kind of deep hope that some people will be influenced by this in a way that will continue to have them as food growers for the rest of their life.
Well, Paul, thanks very much. Do appreciate your time joining us this morning.
Pleasure, Sean. Thanks for having me, mate.